place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you. What a weird end of the week it was last week. The last time I spoke to you was the Friday podcast, which I recorded in the middle of the night, reacting to Ian Rapoport's report that the Bills were nearing a trade for Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. And I kind of left it hanging because just at the end of the recording, the reports from Vic Carucci and John Warrow saying that the deal was unlikely, in addition to some of Antonio Brown's social media comments, pretty much left that very much in doubt. And then certainly when we woke up the next morning, Brandon Bean issued a statement and the deal was dead. And now Antonio Brown is an Oakland Raider. And I think given the Bills' interest, obvious interest in Antonio Brown, it's interesting to reflect back on the deal that wasn't with the Bills. And so first of all, he does go to Oakland for a third and fifth round pick. Antonio Brown signed the extension he was looking for. So he gets paid. He gets a new team after holding Pittsburgh hostage, pretty much bashing them every step along the way. He gets exactly what he wants. A year after Pittsburgh wouldn't budge on the Le'Veon Bell deal, sat out the entire season, they went ahead and gave him away for peanuts, one of the best receivers, one of the best offensive players in the NFL, gave him away for peanuts, and are committing $21 million in dead cap space. Now, I'm sure there's some obvious value in him not being part of the mix anymore, and he couldn't play there. It was kind of a situation that couldn't be salvaged, and they were kind of forced to do something. But for Antonio Brown to get everything he wanted in this deal is somewhat disappointing. I kind of hate that. You know, these guys, they commit to deals with teams, and then, you know, I know they can get cut in a moment's notice and all that type of stuff, but Seems like Antonio Brown wasn't necessarily a guy who should get his way on everything here. He just seems really like an unstable guy. So we'll see how it goes in Oakland. There's no question about his football skills and his work ethic and those types of things. I'm sure he'll be ready to go and very much with new energy and fuel to go be part of the Oakland Raiders. And they can certainly use him. Right now, their top receivers are Jordy Nelson and Marcel Aitman. So there's an obvious need for wide receiver there, and they just went out and got one of the best in the game. So anyways, let's bring this back to the Bills. It's been reported and rumored that the Bills' deal for Antonio Brown was for a swap of first-round picks. So the Bills would move from number nine overall to number 20 overall with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Bills would be parting with a couple of mid-round picks. They have 2/4, 2/5. I could see the Bills doing the swap of picks and trading a fourth and a fifth as part of that deal. Well, what did we learn about the Bills, though, through this interest that they had in Antonio Brown, which it seemed like there was enough interest for the Bills to actually get to a point where they were reaching out to Drew Rosenhaus to talk about contracts. So it says maybe a couple different things. First of all, that number one, wide receiver is a bigger need in the eyes of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean than they were leading us to believe at the combine, where, you know, they were asked about that, and pretty much Sean McDermott said, look, I just want guys that can get open and catch football. And Brandon Bean said, I want guys that Josh Allen can rely on. Well, a few days later, they're negotiating a trade for Antonio Brown. So I think we need to bring wide receiver right back to the forefront of the priorities that we expect the Bills to address. Not that I ever didn't expect them to make some moves at wide receiver. I never thought they would be as significant as potentially acquiring Antonio Brown. So I'm going to get to my free agent wish list here in a moment, but I do think we can expect the Bills to do something at wide receiver, potentially in free agency, potentially in the draft, potentially both. But I think we can certainly get into the minds of Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and say, maybe this wasn't quite as dismissive as they were making it out to be when asked about it at the combine. Maybe the deal that they were pursuing with Antonio Brown speaks to their lack of belief in this year's not only the wide receiver class in the draft, but the crop available in free agency. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not, but there's reason to believe that could be their line of thought with going after Antonio Brown. But Antonio Brown is an Oakland Raider. Pittsburgh Steelers got a third and a fifth, and they're left with $21 million in dead cap space. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable situation. All right. One other note here before I get into my free agent wish list is a player that the Bills brought into for a visit, Dwayne Allen, the tight end, who was released by the New England Patriots, a guy that doesn't give much in the receiving game, but he's a really good blocking tight end. He follows Brian Flores from New England to Miami and signed a 2-year, $7 million contract with the Dolphins, where they already have two guys they drafted last year in Durham Smythe and Mike Gesicki, as well as Nick O'Leary, who they signed after the Bills released him and have since signed him to a contract extension. So unless they go four tight ends, one of those guys isn't making the team unless they're going to view one of them as potentially a fullback. But a pretty crowded tight end situation there that Dwayne Allen opted to join. And so the Bills' search for that veteran tight end, it continues. And so we'll look at some of the ideas I have in free agency here in just a minute in terms of my personal wish list. But before I do that, I do want to mention that this is being recorded on Sunday. It's 9:38 p.m. on the East Coast. And a lot can change by the time you listen to this podcast because the legal tampering period begins on March 11th. So teams are free to negotiate with unrestricted free agents, and deals are going to be reported left and right. So when you hear me talking about some of these players, there's a chance that they could be already signed by the Bills or a different team, but that's why I'm calling it my wish list, and I think it's important for you to know when I'm recording this, so that way you're not listening to this after lunch on Monday thinking, wow, Joe, you're a little behind on the times there, brother. Well, look, it's that time of year where I have to record this podcast at some point, and information is going to change. So let's just keep that in mind if you hear me talking about a player that winds up agreeing to terms with a contract or reports that they've agreed to a contract come to fruition. So big offseason for the Bills. We've talked about this for weeks. The Bills have 10 draft picks in the coming draft. They have over $70 million in cap space, which is the fourth most in the NFL right now. The Bills have $130 million projected in cap space next year, which is the most in the NFL. So the Bills are sitting on gobs and gobs of cap space, and they've got to spend it. They've got to start making some moves. Now, I know Brandon Bean's philosophy, most NFL general managers' philosophy, my personal philosophy is that you build through the draft and you re-sign your own good players. Well, that's a great strategy for the Bills. They're just not at the point yet with their draft picks where it's time to start signing them. And so there's this unique opportunity for the Bills to be aggressive with free agency, potentially with trades, and bring on some veterans at a pretty high cost. So get ready for some big contracts handed out by the Buffalo Bills. It doesn't mean that their philosophy changes and that they're not still prioritizing draft picks and retaining their own players. It's just a unique point in the rebuild where they have the cap space available. They have plenty of needs. They have plenty of draft picks. And all that just means there's a lot of flexibility. This is a huge offseason for Brandon Bean to build this roster. His fingerprints are starting to come all over this thing. And really, ultimately, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott's tenure will be defined by Josh Allen and how successful he is. But part of making Josh Allen successful is building the team around him. And this is the chance for them to start hand-selecting players. Not that they haven't done that in the draft, but being aggressive with the free agent portion of it and bring in some guys that can help this football team. I think 2 years ago, the Bills did a really good job in free agency, bringing in guys like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Really good deals for the Bills. The next year, not so good, right? I mean, it's okay. Star Lotulelei got a big contract, and he is what he is, a space-eating defensive tackle who's a true process guy that's always at the facility working his ass off every day, but he's not going to make a whole lot of plays, and so there's going to be thoughts that he's overpaid. Well, the thing about Star Lotulelei is that his contract is not prohibitive to the Bills. There is nothing about Star Lotulelei's contract that's going to prevent the Bills from making any other moves. So you can gripe on it all you want, but it's not prohibitive. They signed Vontae Davis. That didn't work out. They gave Trent Murphy a modest deal. We'll see. On that first year, he wasn't necessarily a high-impact player. Hopefully, he's healthy next year, and he can make a bigger impact. But, you know, I think there's been some good free agent pickups, but this will be a defining class because the resources at their disposal are plentiful. All right, so with all that said, we can expect a lot of activity here. And some of my wish lists, my ideas, some players I would target, and I have five different positions I'm going to mention with one player or a few players that I think would make logical sense for the Bills to pursue. First of all, the tight end position where the Bills only have Jason Kroom on the roster right now. They released Charles Clay, and I expect them to probably draft a tight end at some point, but there's no veteran at all at the position. And so I think the Bills will make a move for one of those, maybe Max Williams from the Ravens. But I think the guy that I think presents some upside is Jesse James from the Steelers. I don't know what his contract's going to be. It could be $7 or $8 million a year. So if the Bills were to sign him for 2 years, 15, 3 years, 20, something like that, I wouldn't be surprised. That's probably what it's going to cost. He's a balanced player. I don't think he's dynamic. We have to keep that in mind. But at some point, you have to have a know-how veteran at the position group. And I think Jesse James can do that. He can block. He can catch. He's just not overly dynamic, but he's experienced. So, you know, the tight end thing, Nick Boyle's already been signed by the Ravens. He was re-signed by the Ravens. Dwayne Allen's already been signed. Darren Fells was actually recently released by the Cleveland Browns. Maybe he's an option. But I do think the Bills will go after either Max Williams, Jesse James, or Darren Fells. I think they have to. Unless there's another creative way to get a tight end, maybe it's trading for Cameron Brate. Would you like that? Would you be happy with that? That's interesting. I haven't even really dug into that, but I know he got a pretty hefty paycheck, and they've already got O.J. Howard in tow, and if the Bucs want to clear up some cap space, which they need to do, maybe that's a deal they look to make. So that's a possibility. Maybe there's a trade that I'm not considering. But the Bills need to get a veteran tight end. At wide receiver, now this is where things get real interesting. Tyrell Williams from the Chargers is actually a really good fit in terms of a size guy, a speed guy. He's had success down the field as a vertical receiver, which is exactly what the Bills need. That's plays to Josh Allen's strengths. What's interesting about Tyrell Williams is that they never wanted to re-sign him because the Mike Williams draft pick in the top 10 really says a lot about the way they were thinking of that position, not necessarily kind of setting themselves up to let Tyrell Williams walk. And so I think he's going to get paid a lot. I think he's going to command a contract, 11, 12, 13 million a season. So if you can stomach that, if that's worth it, if that's the veteran guy that the Bills need to really be the vertical field stretcher and give the Bills some size at the position, well, then that's your guy. He's just going to be really expensive. And the slot, I think there's plenty of options. Adam Humphries, Jamison Crowder, Cole Beasley. I think the Bills will wind up signing one of those guys. I've heard that Adam Humphries wants around $9 million a season. Crowder has been a productive player. He's got some fumble issues. Does help you in the return game as well. I think he can do a lot of the things the Bills want in a slot receiver. And I think the Bills are going to prioritize slot. Now, part of me says get an X receiver and then play Robert Foster at Y on the other side, and then your slot receiver is Zay Jones. But here's the reality. Zay Jones lined up more out wide than he did in the slot last year while the Bills continue to spin the tires with slot receivers like Jeremy Curley, Isaiah McKenzie, Ray-Ray McCloud. And so if they thought Zay was the dude at slot, I think they would have played him there last year. So that's interesting. I think the Bills kind of like receivers that can play all the different spots. Now, perhaps there are some true slots that they would want, like a Humphries or a Crowder or a Beasley or somebody in the draft. But I don't think it's as simple as get an X. You put Zay Jones in the slot, and then you have Foster on the other boundary. I think they're going to want guys that can play multiple positions. I don't think it's crazy to think that the Bills could sign Tyrell Williams and one of those slots, that they couldn't draft an ex-receiver like Kelvin Harmon or DK Metcalf or Hakeem Butler or one of those guys and get a slot receiver. I think the Bills are going to make two pretty substantial investments at the wide receiver position, whether it's two draft picks or two free agent signings or one in the draft and one in free agency. There's going to be some new pieces in this wide receiver room. Now, there's two other receivers that come to mind in free agency that stand out. Devin Funchess from the Carolina Panthers. You have to talk about him because of the Carolina ties. The Bills have literally pursued almost every single potential player that was part of the regime in Carolina when McDermott and Bean were there. Devin Funchess, a free agent. He's not going to be re-signed by the Panthers. They just picked up Torrey Smith's option. They've got Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, and they're not going to bring him back. He's going to play somewhere else. He didn't have the season he was hoping to going into free agency. So maybe you get him on a one-year prove-it deal, and you get something out of Devin Funchess. That said, there's a lot of variance to him at the catch point. There's a lot of things that piss you off about Kelvin Benjamin that are going to be true in Devin Funchess. He's not very consistent, doesn't always play to his size, not a great separator. That said, former Panthers, we got to talk about him. I would not be surprised if the Bills brought him in. I'm actually rooting against that. If it happens, you hope it works out. John Brown, a player the Bills pursued last year, winds up signing with the Ravens. He really diminished in terms of production once Lamar Jackson was in the lineup. Where is he going to go? I think he would be a good fit because of the speed for the Bills, but he didn't want to sign with the Bills last year. He may not want to do it this year. So I'm not sure if I'm taking him very seriously as an option. Now, I've talked a lot about offensive line and free agency. The biggest thing for me is the Bills need to come away with Matt Paradis. Make him the highest paid center in the NFL and get Matt Paradis. He is an important player that the Bills can get, that can be the glue up front for the Bills. He can help make line calls. He can allow Josh Allen to fixate his eyes on the back seven and know that you have a reliable center right there in the middle that's going to keep everything gelled up front. He has a very versatile skill set, and because he exists, you have more scheme multiplicity because of what he can do. He is perfect. He's the number one priority for me in free agency. Now, here's the problem. This is the real concern that I have. The Jets are probably also going to want him too. He was with Adam Gase in Denver as a rookie, and so there's some familiarity there, and it could become a bidding war, and both teams have a ton of cap space. Now, the Jets did just trade for Kelechi Osemele from the Raiders, and that could certainly speak to one of their spots, but I still think they'd love to get a center like Matt Paradis. If you don't get Paradis, you got to get Mitch Morse from Kansas City. The Bills have got to come away with one of those two centers, in my opinion. I'd also like to see them make a run at one of these offensive tackles. Darrell Williams for Carolina, Juwan James from Miami, and Trent Brown from the Patriots. I think they need to get one of those guys too. Get one of those centers, one of those offensive tackles, and you really get this offensive line on track. If that's the case, you have Deion Dawkins at left tackle, you have Wyatt Teller at left guard, you have Matt Paradis or Mitch Morse at center. At right guard, you have Spencer Long or Vlad Dukas. And at right tackle, you have either Darrell Williams, Juwan James, and Trenton Brown. That is a massively improved offensive line. And what it also does is it frees up flexibility for the Bills in the draft. I did a mock draft, and I gave the Bills DK Metcalf. They came out on Sunday. And everybody went after me. Not everybody. That's not fair. A lot of people went after me and said, how are the Bills going to not take Juwan Taylor or Jonah Williams, who were both on the clock available at number 9, and I had them take DK Metcalf? That's because I think there's a realistic opportunity for the Bills to fix the offensive line in free agency and open up the door for them to take a wide receiver in the draft. Now, here's even something crazier. I think they could, if they really wanted to, don't tell me this is crazy, they could go Tyrell Williams and a slot like Humphreys or Crowder. They could go two of those offensive linemen and set themselves up to really do anything in the draft. Now we start talking tight end at 9, potentially. Also, the defensive tackle thing doesn't go away. I've been telling you for a long time, I think the Bills are going to potentially draft a defensive tackle at number 9, maybe Christian Wilkins or Ed Oliver. Especially because when I look at this defensive tackle group in free agency, there's only two that really pop to me as exciting players. One being Ndamukong Suh, one being Sheldon Richardson. I don't necessarily peg those as players the Bills would normally go after. That said, when they decided they would pursue Antonio Brown, it opened my mind to every possibility. If you pay Ndamukong Suh, he will come. If you have the best offer for Suh, he will come. Can you get a couple seasons out of him? Can you give him, would you give him 2 years, $30 million to come play three tech for you next to Star? Potentially, I'm not ruling it out. I think it's less likely that Sheldon Richardson's an option. But a month ago, I sat here on this podcast and told you there's no way the Bills would even consider Antonio Brown. So don't tell me my eyes haven't been open to what the Bills will and won't do. So that's the thing. Outside of those two guys, I don't get excited about the free agent defensive tackles. So if you can fix wide receiver and O-line in free agency, get ready for that defensive tackle at number nine, or even potentially one of the top tight ends. Maybe it's Noah Fant. Maybe it's TJ Hockenson. All right, so here we go. I've talked about defensive tackle, offensive line, wide receiver, veteran tight end. Edge, I think the Bills are going to make a move at some point this offseason for edge rush. I've talked about it before. After this season, the only edge rusher under contract for the Bills is Trent Murphy. And there's no way that Trent Murphy is your lead edge rusher going into 2020. Shaq Lawson's a free agent. Jerry Hughes is a free agent. And I just don't think there's a lot of exciting upside there. And I think edge is something you don't mess around with. There's no way you think you're going to rebuild the whole thing in one offseason. There's going to be strides made this year. Maybe that's with a mid-round draft pick or two. Maybe that's with an earlier draft pick than we're expecting. Maybe that's with a free agent. I think there's four free agents that the Bills could pursue that I think would make sense. Preston Smith from the Redskins, Anthony Barr from Minnesota. He played edge rusher at UCLA, played off-ball linebacker at Minnesota. I think he's better rushing the passer. He's going to be expensive, though. Joe Biscaglia did a great piece on that. Check that out. Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens. He'd fit. Ziggy Ansah. I think that's kind of a weird one, but I don't think it's that crazy. He's a little bit older, but if you can get him for 2 or 3 years at a reasonable deal, maybe that's an option that gives you something on the roster beyond this year. And then maybe Shane Ray from the Broncos, although that's probably the least exciting to me. The last player I'll mention is a player I mentioned last week, is Kevin Johnson. I think the Bills need to get a cornerback that can challenge Levi Wallace, not necessarily actually take that starting gig for him, but give them a veteran on the boundary that gives them depth, that makes sure that Levi Wallace is focused. I like Kevin Johnson's upside. He's battled some injuries. When he's played, he's been pretty good. He's a first-round pick. The Bills are familiar with him. Secondary coach that the Bills have now had him in Houston. There's a lot of familiarity, and I think that he fits the role of a modestly priced upside veteran to make sure the Bills are taken care of at outside cornerback opposite of Trey White. So we'll see. Well, the speculation is going to be over here very soon. There's going to be deals coming left and right. The Bills will make moves. We'll react to every bit of it right here on this podcast. So make sure that you are subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. Would love for you to leave a review, a 5-star review, hopefully, and leave some written words. Appreciate all your efforts to help me share the podcast and grow the podcast. And we're getting into some busy times here with free agency. There's going to be new Buffalo Bills almost certainly here very, very soon. And obviously getting ready for the 2019 NFL draft. So big weeks ahead for the Buffalo Bills and building this team under Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. There's going to be a lot of opinions and takes, and I'll be sharing mine with you right here on the Locked On Bills podcast. I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.